Please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. And it's always a joy to come to Maranatha. We appreciate the pastor, the spirit of this church. And you do not determine the success of a church by its seating capacity, but by its sending capacity. And many missionaries have gone from this church, and so we believe it is a successful New Testament Baptist church. And that's a good place for us to be. Church makes a difference. You do not have to be a member of a church to go to heaven. But Warren Wiersbe said, trying to raise a Christian apart from a good Bible-preaching church is like trying to raise one bee, and you just won't get much honey with one bee in the hive. We need the fellowship one of another. In the midst of the week, it's good for us to assemble ourselves together. And it's good to be with our fellow servants in missions. I see a number of people here. We appreciate Brother Hembry and the Creeds who are so valuable to BIMI. I see Brother Mike Ferris here and others. I wish that I knew how to call the names of each one, but it is indeed good to be here. As a pastor, I enjoyed preaching series, books of the Bible, and various series. But for tonight, I hope I can give just a little something to help you press on the way. Maybe a little honey for the journey. And the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. But in spite of that scripture, you'll have to admit, sometimes we get a little weary in well-doing. Maybe the long miles, you can't find the church, the directions were not clear, or you missed the turn. There can be some wearisome things. But I'd like to share with you a few thoughts about a solid faith for shaky times. And these are days of much uncertainty. The coming election is filled with uncertainty. Would you have ever dreamed 25 years ago that you'd have a choice to make, whether you vote for a Mormon or whatever? I never thought I'd come to that place. But that day is here. My wife and I have already voted. One of the benefits of being older, but we knew that we would not be in town on the day of the election, so we voted early. And these are indeed perilous times. I'm not sure about you, but I see things taking place now that are bizarre, weird, difficult to explain, things we would never dream of. And if you dwell on those things, they will be very discouraging to you. But you and I must read the headlines in the light of the Scripture. And regardless of the headlines, God's Word is still true. And whatever He said will come to pass. Tonight we're at war. If you question the term war, ask our soldiers. I think they would give you a proper definition of that. And many people have their minds on some kind of Armageddon. Perilous times. Vance Havner and his wife were driving through small mountain towns, and their bus stopped at a little mom-and-pop country store. And they spoke to the lady who was running the store. an older lady. And Mrs. Hapner said to her husband, "I doubt if this lady knows anything about what's going on in the world. And probably she's never been out of this county." And Vance Hapner said, "Leave her alone. Don't tell her. Let her die in peace." Someone has said there are more twins being born now than ever before. If that be the case, it's because they're afraid to come into this world one at a time. I'm an American by birth. I'm a Christian by the new birth. I'm a child of God because of His mercy and marvelous grace. I believe the greatest life is the Christian life. I don't want to be a Muslim. I don't want to be a Catholic. I have no desire to be a Buddhist. But I'm glad just to be an old-time Christian. It's the greatest thing I know. And I'm not studying the religions of the world to try to find something better. When I found Jesus, I found it all. And I'm not searching to see if there is a new brand of religion that might be better than mine. I'll tell you, there are many men who can preach the gospel better than I preach it, but there's not a man alive who can preach a better gospel than I preach. And Spurgeon said, "It is the whole job of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world." I guess that makes us full gospel preachers. And yes, there are shaky days, but you'd better believe we have a solid faith. The anchor of our soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Christ, is Jesus Christ." I believe God is alive and well. He's not sick. He's not disengaged. He's not too busy to hear us when we pray. He's never been out of touch. He's always relevant. He's always powerful. He's all that He ever claims to be. And if your faith is so weak that some university professor can shake you, then you need to go back and read your Bible. And if you'll take good care of your faith will take care of you. And look at Hebrews chapter 2, please, in verse 1. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip away from them." Verse 2, Hebrews 2 and verse 2, "For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him?" And we do enjoy a great salvation. Is there anyone who can add anything to the salvation which God has provided? If we put our hands on it, we leave a smear. If we try to improve upon it, we mess it up. But salvation in Christ is solid and real, and it's perfect. And its creator is God the Father, wrought by His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a true faith for these trying days. I believe it's good religion when you have salvation in an all-sufficient Savior. And Josh Billings said, "I'd rather know a few things for certain than to be sure of a lot of things that ain't so." Every Christian should be able to say, "I know." Many say, "I think." Some say, "I feel." But the child of God with a Bible in his hand can say, "Thank God, I know. I know in whom I have believed. I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do you know? Because God said so. Tonight, how do you know that you're going to go to heaven when you die? It's because God said so. How do you know God will answer prayer? Because He said so. How do you know that He can take a weak church and make it triumphant? It's because He said so. And I know the Bible is the Word of God. I don't understand it all, but I stand on it all. And there are verses that are difficult. It's not because there's a problem with God or His Word. It's a problem with the limitations of our minds. Some seminary professors have taught young ministerial students that these blessed truths are myths. And they have taught the first five books of the Bible are allegory and myth, and therefore you don't even have to have those. And I'm telling you, if the miracles of the Bible are just myths, then we are mythified and we have mythed the boat. And we are sadly mistaken. The Christian can say, I know Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that He suffered and took my place. I believe there's enough power in one drop of Calvary's blood to save every sinner around this encircling globe who will repent and believe. I believe in the efficacy of the blood atonement of Christ. I believe that Jesus rose bodily from the grave. I believe that Jesus was the virgin-born Son of God. I believe that Jesus is coming back personally and visibly. And you're not an orphan left alone. The Lord is coming to receive His people. And we shall live in kingdom come. We've prayed for that for these hundreds of years, and it will be a reality. And premillennialism is not just a doctrine, it is a way of life. And I'm excited about the millennium. And the Bible talks about white horses, and people have debated, is that literal or physical? Oh, it doesn't matter to me. I just want to ride that white horse. I believe that God has done all things well. And this world will not hang out a welcome sign to every feeble saint. But we cry, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And they can label us, and I'll tell you, I wear the label. I'm an old-time Christian who still believes the Bible is the Word of God, and I have no apology to make to anybody anywhere. And in times like these, we need a Savior. We need an anchor for our souls. There are four things that every Christian must have. Every Christian needs a Bible. Every Christian needs a hymnal, because God's people ought to be a singing people. And I feel sorry for you if you only sing at church. Oh, roll the windows up and sing in the car. And pray that nobody can hear. But sing. Sing till the top of the car falls in. And rejoice and worship God driving down the road. Turn off your cell phone. But we can enjoy our salvation. It's not meant to be endured. It's meant to be enjoyed. And it's good enough for today, it's good enough for this week, it's good enough for all year, it's good enough from now throughout all of eternity. And I'm glad that we have Ambassador Baptist College here to try to give training and preparation for people involved in ministry. I'm glad for churches like this where you can come and know that you have a pastor who loves you and will do everything in his power to help you. And to have fellow believers who will join together. I'll tell you, I believe there's a literal hell that is hot, and it's where Christ rejecting sinners go. And some preachers preach as if they're glad there is a hell, but I wouldn't want a dog to go to hell. But the Bible teaches that there is such a place. I believe there's a heaven where sinners saved by grace can go. And it's a real place. It's not the figment of one's imagination. I believe it's a beautiful place and a spacious place. And God has never been chintzy. And God doeth all things well. And Christian, without a doubt, you do have an anchor. You say, but this is so old-fashioned. Well, so is the sun. But you die without the sun. How old is the air? Would you tell me, please, how old are the stars? Without air, we would die. You have to have oxygen to live. And salvation in Christ may be old-fashioned, but it is the anchor of our souls. And without it, we drift into an eternal separation from God without any hope whatsoever. Water is old-fashioned, but I'm glad for it. And so, it reminds me of the time when old Dr. Henson was preaching on the second coming. Some university students attended. And after the service, they came to him, and one of the young men, rather academic, said, we just can't get that out of the Bible. And he said, I know you can't get it out because it's in there to stay. If you have salvation based on the Word of God, you have good religion. And I hope you're satisfied with it. It's a great salvation. And stand upon it and rely upon it and rest your soul upon the anchor of God's Word. And to be steady and press on and stand on the solid rock and make much of Jesus, and He'll make much of you. If you'll draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. And these are trigger verses. And if you'll flip the switch, then those things will take place. And what is the Christian supposed to do in a perplexing world in which we live? Well, here's a verse, John 16 and verse 33. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And the Lord holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And Satan has no power that can handle the Lord God Almighty. And the Lord's going to take care of every problem this world has to face. And there are three things that every Christian should do. First of all, let's build on a solid foundation. Do you have assurance of your salvation? Can you take the Bible and show how that you know you're saved? Do you understand? The answer for assurance of salvation is in what God said, especially the book of 1 John. And so we need to be sure that we can say, I know in whom I have believed. Salvation in Christ in a crumbling society is still just as real as it has ever been. And so let's build on a solid foundation. Have you followed the Lord in believers' baptism? Is your membership straight? Is it like it ought to be? If I were a member of a liberal church and they supported things that were not right, I wouldn't put a penny into that kind of ministry. But I'd move my membership and find an old-fashioned Bible-believing man who loves God. And God uses people of different styles. And don't worry so much about the style. Some preachers preach and run the aisles. If they're preaching the truth, I'm going to sit there and listen. And some have more of a teaching ministry. If they're preaching the truth, I'm going to pay audience to what that man of God says and the way he says it. Many times we have the idea that if a man is not perspiring buckets, then he's not really preaching. But I'll tell you, a young preacher boy can take the Bible and read a verse of this authoritative word, and that requires an audience that is worthy of a hearing. And after the service, you might say, that was good, son. You did a good job. When I was called of God to preach and people would say that, it bothered me a little bit. They were right, but it still bothered me a little bit because I was so sincere. I said, hey, I didn't come to practice. I came to preach as best I knew how to do. And I used to preach in empty churches and pray nobody was there. I'd pray the janitor wouldn't dare walk in. I preached to the trees in the woods. And you'd say, well, you must have lost your mind. No, I had God, and I felt like I'd explode if I didn't preach. And so help me. I've preached with a gallon jug of water and a Bible. I've preached to the trees. And if you get enough of God inside of you, something's got to give. And I was practicing, yes, and it was good experience, yes. I pastored a house church when I was a senior in high school. And I said, I don't know how to pastor. I'm too young. They said, well, we don't have anybody else. And I said, well, let me pray. I prayed about it. I said, I have 1 year. Then my wife and I planned to go to Tennessee Temple in Chattanooga. And when we were married, I had, as I proposed to her, 3 points and a point. Number one, if we get married, it won't be trial and error. You're stuck with me and I'm stuck with you. It'll be a lifetime covenant, contract, and agreement. Number two, if you marry me, God's called me to preach, and a call to preach is a call to prepare. And we'll move and go to school. Is that okay with you? And I was hoping she would say, yes, that's fine. And she did say, that's fine. And we both checked in. 2 weeks after marriage, all kind of foolish things like that as young people. Young, but following the direction of God. And I did the very best that I knew how. And I've enjoyed my salvation, no regrets, except I wish I had been better and stronger and closer to the God who saved me. But let's build by a life based on principle and a life built on priorities, built on a solid foundation, carry out the Great Commission, win souls to Christ. But secondly, let's build on a spiritual fortification. That involves Bible study and strengthening our prayer life and dying to self and walking in the Spirit and rebuking Satan and resisting him. And don't quit and claim the victory. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, it doesn't matter who is against us because we're on the winning side. And the book of the Revelation teaches that we are the overcomers. And let's build on that spiritual fortification. And then thirdly, in these shaky times, let's build a solid faith and build it on singing faith. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I hope I got that across. Satisfied in Christ, content serving God. I love to sing, my hope is built on nothing less. Say it with me. Than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Love to sing, coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be when Jesus comes again. And the coming of Christ is to us a caution. And to us it is a challenge to be at our best for this world at its worst. The coming of the Lord is likewise a comfort. 1 Thessalonians 4 in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And as we have assembled on this Wednesday night, let's you and I be encouraged in the fact that Jesus is coming again for us and we can shout the victory and sing His praises. And listen, you can rest on His promises and you can shout the victory all the way through. The saddest thing in the world is a Christian who has lost his song. And it reminds me of the Jews who, the Bible says, we hanged our harps on the willow trees in Babylonian captivity. That was sad. Oh, so sad. And they disobeyed God. But wouldn't it have been something if they had stayed true and received the blessings of God? Then they'd change tunes. They'd say, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. What about that old song? I've got a mansion over the hilltop. And we indeed have something to look forward to. And you know how that song was written? A Christian man, a businessman in Texas near Dallas, got so discouraged in his business that he just locked up the door, got in his car and started driving. He didn't have any particular place to go, but he saw a side road, and he turned off the main road, and that side road became an old country dirt road. And it was a dead-end road, and at the end of the road, he saw a little girl with a broken doll under her arm, and he called her a little dirty-faced angel. And her dress was torn, and that little doll broken and pitiful. And the man rolled his window down and said, "Child, would you tell me, your house is run down, but yet you're so happy. Can you tell me why you're so happy?" And she said, "Mister, just over that hilltop, my dad is building us a mansion. And it won't be long until we're moving in. And that's why I'm so happy." And tonight, as believers, we can say, our Father is building us a mansion in heaven. And He's got one with your name on it. And soon it'll be moving day. And we'll move in and rejoice with Him forever and forever. What do we need for these days? We need Fanny Crosby's song, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Blind Fanny Crosby. Oh, she knew something, didn't she? What do we need for these days? We need some faith and some fire and some fortitude. What do we need for these days? We need a Savior. We need the Spirit. We need some stamina to cause us to press on. And by the way, the songwriter Ira Stanfield heard the story about that Texas businessman. And he gave a testimony that Wednesday night. And he said, "I drove some distance away and I met a little dirty-faced angel. And God spoke to me and encouraged me. And Ira Stanfield sat in the service and heard that and went home and wrote, 'I've got a mansion over the hilltop.'" You'd better know where you've been. Some would say, "Oh, I've been to college." Have you been to Calvary? We're not opposed to college. Not at all. Not opposed to education. Get all you can. But you better know where your power comes from. We better know where our anchor is. And late President Dwight Eisenhower was dying. Walter Reed Army Hospital. He died March the 28th in 1969. And the cardiologist said to President Eisenhower, "You've had a series of heart attacks and each one has caused more damage. And you've asked us to be honest. You don't have very long to live. Is there anything we can get for you?" He said, "Yes, I want to see a preacher." And in 1969, he asked for Billy Graham to come. And this is certainly not an endorsement of ecumenical evangelism, but he said to Billy Graham, "I'm a Presbyterian, and I'm about to die. And I've got to know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Will you help me?" And Billy Graham knew enough of the Word of God that he took him down the Romans Road and showed him out of the Bible how to be saved. It is said that Eisenhower called upon the Lord Jesus. He said, "I've been religious and I've been a Presbyterian all these years, but I've never received the Lord Jesus as my Savior." And he did that in Walter Reed Army Hospital. The doctor stood at the door. Billy Graham said, "I'm not supposed to stay very long. I need to go." Eisenhower said, "I'd like for you to stay right here. I'm the President of the United States, and I want you to stay. And I want you to go over those verses again, because eternity is just too long for me to be wrong. And I want to be sure that I know that I'll go to heaven when I die. You stay here. Tell me again." And we believe that he died in faith on his deathbed. Do you not rejoice in a wonderful Savior tonight? I've never had anybody to do for me what he has done. I've never had anybody to be so good to me. As Jesus. A lot of people have been good to me. But Jesus has been my dearest friend. He's my only Savior. He's my all in all. And I have felt the touch of the Master's hand. Life can get a little discouraging, you would agree. But everything's all right in my Father's house. I've dreamed many dreams which never came true. I've seen them vanish at dawn. But enough of my dreams have come true to make me keep dreaming on. I prayed many prayers when no answer came, though I waited patient and long. But thank God answers have come to enough of my prayers to make me keep praying on. I've trusted many friends who've proven untrue and left me to weep alone. But enough of my friends have proven true blue to make me keep trusting on. I've sown many seed by the wayside for the birds to feed upon, but I've held enough golden sheaves in my hand to make me keep sowing on. And I've drunk the cup of disappointment and pain, and I've gone some days without song. But I've sipped enough nectar from the roses of life to make me want to live on. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Press on. And it will be worth it all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in such a great salvation. And I pray that you'd put your loving arms around this flock, this part of the body of Christ, and encourage and strengthen. Be with those students who need the special touch from heaven. Maybe a missionary, maybe a pastor. Prop us up on the leaning side. Help us in the midst of our weakness. We are weak, but thou art so strong. And we give praise and thanks unto the Lord Almighty, the King of glory. In Jesus' hallowed name, amen. Thank you. You've listened well, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Pastor.